We want to thank the leadership here at this great church for extending this invitation for us to come on tonight that we might share with you from this book called the Bible. I have my girlfriend with me tonight. She's been with me for a long, long time. And certainly it has not grown stale. And so we do those things that I believe calls for a lasting relationship. And certainly we thank God for. Thank Brother Branch, good friend, great comrade in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Good to see all the great preachers here tonight. I'm moving because it's still warm. I know that man of God, Brother Rogers, did an outstanding job on yesterday. Brother Branch called and asked us to come and speak to you tonight concerning Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse number 6 and ending with verse number 10. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. And the Bible reads, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go unto Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." If you don't mind, I want to use for a topic tonight, heeding the Macedonian call at home and abroad. Heeding the Macedonian call. The work of the local church has often been described as threefold. Edification, which is equipping the saints for ministry. Benevolence, meeting the needs of the destitute brethren. And then evangelism, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to the lost. The organization and worship of the church naturally focus attention on edification and benevolence. The office of the elders and of the preaching of the gospel speaks to the work of building up the church. Now, when it comes to benevolence, the office of the deacons, along with the weekly contribution, speaks to supplying the needs of destitute saints. But unless constant attention is given to evangelism, it can become easy for the church to focus solely on edification and benevolence and neglect evangelistic efforts altogether, both as a congregation and as individuals. You see, to neglect evangelism is harmful to the spiritual life of the church. To neglect evangelism is to be disobedient to the command of Jesus. To neglect evangelism is to neglect the work of the church. Our mission is to reach the lost for Christ. teaching them the fundamental principles of the salvational experience. Then teaching them that Jesus said we must do all things that he has commanded us to do. When I look at what Jesus is talking about concerning what he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he left us with what is called the Great Commission. But if we're not careful, in 2015, it would be called the Great Omission. For many times, we fail to carry out this authoritative command. It is authoritative because of who gave it. When all power and all authority is given unto you in heaven and earth, then you are able and you have the ability to give such a command. A commission is also a directive. A commission is a command. And so when Jesus spoke these words, he spoke them directly to his apostles. But he also spoke them to us in an indirect way. And he was giving the church its marching orders throughout the ages. The Lord's disciples took the command seriously. The Bible says they went into all the world and preached the gospel of Christ. And thousands upon thousands were saved by the grace of God. Their message was so powerful that the Jews which believed not, over there in Acts chapter 17, verses 5 and 6 said, that the Bible said they moved with envy, saying and crying, these men that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. But in that verse says to go. To go means to move. It means to move from one place to another. It means to proceed. It means to advance. It means to leave. It means to depart. Go ye means go me. And tonight, go ye means go we. For all of us have a role in making disciples for Christ. Sometimes we forget the truth that Christianity is a warfare which takes an active faith. Our conversion is not just to endure to the end, but to storm the very gates of hell, tear down the strongholds of sin and Satan, and build Christ on the ruins thereof. Disciples can be made only by teaching. Therefore, when the King James Version says go and teach all nations, it is crystal clear that is what it meant. Thus, teaching as a prerequisite of discipleship is evident as one of the basic principles of the faith. And when we go, church, we've got to go near and far. We've got to go locally and nationally. We've got to go at home, and then we've got to go abroad. For the Bible says all nations. And when I see that, I see the worldwide missionary program that Jesus had in mind for the church. He is the worldwide brotherhood of all nations and races to be found in Christ Jesus. In Acts chapter 17. And verse number 26, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have determined the time and the appointment before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. One race, one blood, one family. The meaning is the same. All men are descended from a single ancestor. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 20, Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the proof of this is evident by many things. One of these being, when you bleed, it's red blood. And so if we needed a transfusion tonight, if the alphabets are right, then we can use one another's blood. What am I saying? I'm saying if a white brother needed a black man's blood, if they all had the same MO, that black man's blood is good enough. If the black man needed a transfusion and the Chinaman had the same MO, the Chinaman's blood is all right. If the Chinaman need a transfusion and the Jamaican had the same MO, don't you know that Jamaican's blood is good enough to save him? Because we are all one family. We just don't know it. Somebody needs to tell them we came from the same place. Don't let the skin color fool you. We all bleed red. If we look at this from this standpoint, this is affirmation of the oneness and the brotherhood of the whole human race. Again, in Acts chapter 17 and 26, I see Paul challenging the snobbishness of every major division of ancient civilization. You see, the Jews classified peoples as Jew or Gentile. The Romans classified people as citizens or non-citizens. The Greeks viewed the whole world either as Greeks or barbarians. So the question is tonight, how do we, the members of the Lord's Church, view the world in 2015? Do we view them as good or not good enough? Fortunate or unfortunate? Saved or lost? I hear Paul telling the church in Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we are to convert the world, if we are to convert the masses, we've got to humble ourselves. You see, Jesus emptied himself and became a man. He stepped down from heaven to earth. He stepped down from perfection to deal with imperfection. He stepped down from glory and majesty to help the weak and the poor. Let this mind be in us when it comes down to heeding the Macedonian call, because everybody has a soul to save. And there's a lot of people that don't know that they are lost. And some kind of way, we've got to convey the message to them that they need Jesus. But more than this, he who was the Lord and Master of the universe, who deserved all the honor and the service of all living creatures, took upon himself the form of a servant. He became a servant of men. The Lord whom we are to serve, he came and served us. The Lord whom we are to love, he came and loved us. The Lord whom we are to adore, he came and adored us. The Lord whom we are to seek came and sought the lost. For in Luke 19 and verse number 10, the church should have only one mindset, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let me tell you something about the lost. They will tell you this and tell you that. But don't you worry about that. Don't you get your feelings hurt When they close the door in your face. You see, when I look at Jesus, I found out that the priests did not want Jesus. I found out that the religious folk did not want Jesus. I found out that the Pharisee did not want Jesus. Why? Because they thought they were safe already. Don't you be disappointed when they tell you, I have a church. Don't be disappointed, not be ashamed. Because there are many in the world that not only need Jesus, but also want to know him. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Zacchaeus. And the Bible says in Luke 19 and 4 that he was trying to see who Jesus was. But he could not because he was a short man. He was of little stature. And sometimes we look for excuses for non-performance. He said he was too short, but that did not hinder Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus. If you really want to see something, you'll find a way to make it happen. Isn't that right? So the Bible says Zacchaeus ran a little ahead of the crowd, climbed up in a sycamore tree, that he might be able to see Jesus because he heard that Jesus was passing that way. Have you heard on Sunday morning that the Church of Christ opened its doors every Sunday morning? I can't hear you. Did you know the Church of Christ have Wednesday night Bible study? Amen, Walls. Do you know that the Church of Christ come back at 6 o'clock in the evening? You might want to pass this way if you want to see Jesus. Is that all right? So Jesus came and saw Zacchaeus in that tree. And he told Zacchaeus to come on down, for tonight I'm going to dine at your house. If you want to save grandma, grandpa, auntie, and uncle, you might just have to invite yourself into their presence. Because they're not going to always be open to you. You might have to invite yourself like Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. You see, I see something here. I see that God is good. And I believe that somebody is looking for a tree. They're looking for a tree, a spiritual tree, in Huntsville tonight. That they might be willing to climb up in the branches and lodge there and let the leaves of salvation fall on them. The question is, are you that tree tonight? Are you a tree of good news for the saving of mankind? But not only do they need trees in Huntsville, they need trees in Decatur. They need trees in Montego Bay. They need trees on the island in the third world countries. They need trees at the picnic. They need trees at the family reunion. They need trees on Facebook. They need trees on Twitter. They need trees on the other end of the cell phone. They need trees, church, that will share the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus told him to hurry up and come on down. You see, when Jesus come to your house, he don't come empty-handed. I don't know what the conversation was about. But when Jesus got through with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus said, half of my wealth, I'll give it to the poor and the struggling. When Jesus got through with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus said, and if I've cheated, which he knew he had, if I've cheated any man, I'm going to give it back to him four times. You knew. And when Jesus got through with Zacchaeus, the Bible says he was a happy man. He was a happy man. Because when Jesus comes to your house, he brings salvation. When Jesus comes to your house, he brings good news. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither Is there salvation in any other? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now I know you said, what's that got to do with Acts chapter 16, 6 through 10? It has all the world to do with Acts chapter 16. Because in that book and in that chapter, God gave Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia. And that man was crying for help. The cry was, come over into Macedonia and help us. You see, the cry is plural because the man was just not thinking of himself. He was thinking about the whole European nation. He was crying and begging Paul to come and help the whole continent. You see, desperation will cause you to cry out. When you're hurting and when you're in need of something, eventually you're going to cry out for help. That man needed help and he went to the right source. Don't go to the wrong source to get help. Go to somebody who can help you. I believe that he believed that Paul could help him. The desperation was a cry that would break and stir the heart of any true preacher of the gospel of Christ. For a matter of fact, any true child of God would have had hard trouble from the cries of the lost. Paul stooped down and realized that he must go right now, immediately to Macedonia, because it was an emphatic cry. And the cry was telling him that the doors of the whole world is open, wide open. Souls are ready and crying for help. Somebody penned the song, there's a call, comes ringing over the restless waves. There's a souls to rescue and there are souls to save. Won't somebody send the light? Send the light, send the gospel light and let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, send the gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. In Matthew chapter 9. How long do I have, Brother Branch? Amen, Walls. At Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Is that in your Bible? Yeah. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I want you to know tonight that Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. And he looked upon the crowd and he saw their spiritual condition. They were scattered abroad as sheep, left without care, wandering on their own. And so he said, when you pray for laborers, because there are many sheep around us that we pass by every day, but when you pray for the harvest and when you pray for the laborers, make sure you pray that you're one of those that go and gather the sheep. Don't pray for somebody else to go. Pray that God will give you strength, courage, and understanding that you might go. Is that all right? Oh, we pray about a lot of things, but we don't always include ourselves in the equation. There are lost people out there. Matter of fact, there are lost people in our homes that are dying every day. Amen, walls. And we're crying and we're tore all up. But you wouldn't have to cry if you knew they were safe in Jesus. If you knew that they had come in contact with the blood of Jesus. Because that is what washes away our sins. Is that all right? Well, in John chapter 4, verses 35 and 36, say ye not, there is yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I want to tell Northwest tonight, there are some that are not of this fold that want you to come by and pick them up, that they might sit next to you in worship, that they might rejoice at the preaching of the gospel and leave this place full of the power of Jesus. There are those that are waiting on you to knock on their door and invite them to the Lord's service, that they might hear true preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you think you're hearing every Sunday morning, but when you hear the gospel, the unadulterated gospel of Jesus, you're getting what your soul needs. I'm telling you, there are souls that are thirsting for the word of God. And it's our responsibility to lead them to Christ. The harvest is ripe. But is the harvest being abandoned? Is the harvest ready to be lost? And it will be, unless reapers are sent to gather them in. So Galatians said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What am I saying to the church? I'm saying that all Christians have a responsibility to help spread the gospel. We might never be called to go to foreign lands, but if you can't go to a foreign land, find somebody who's going and support that effort. And that's just like you going and carrying the gospel of Christ. Are you listening? I tell you, if you want to heed and respond to the Macedonian call, you've got to come out behind those walls at your house. You've got to come out behind the door, because I believe there are people right there that want to know Jesus. If we're going to respond to the Macedonian call, we must be open to different kinds of opportunities. Sometimes the best prospects for the gospel are not so obvious, and they are not always found where we are used to looking for them. Paul made it his point to go to those who had heard the gospel. Jesus talked to the society that had deemed him unworthy of association. We must be willing to do the same, because the lost, they are in need of our help. They might not know it, but they are in need of reapers in the Lord's church. I remember I was at Kentucky State University. And that was a biology building that we had to take our classes into. And at the heading of the building, it says, come in to learn. Go out to serve. Isn't that what it's all about? We come in here to learn the principles of Christianity. And when we leave here, we ought to share what we have learned. Somebody help me tonight. Because I believe in responding to the Macedonian call. There is not always an easy road. Somebody has to get out of their comfort zone and try to win some souls to Jesus. I don't know how to tell people how to. Yes, you do. You know how to tell them. Just tell them to come and see Brother Branch. That's good enough to the saving of their soul. When I look at this, somebody might say we cannot respond to the Macedonian call today. But I want to tell you that's not true. For the Macedonian call was a call for help. Sin is destroying the lives and the souls of people all around us today. They are burdened, they are bound, and they are blinded by sin. They need the truth. They need hope. They need strength. Whether they realize it or not, or whether they want it or not, they need our help. When I look at what's happening in the world today, it frightens me concerning all these young people that are coming up and seeing the things that are transpiring in this world. You see, maybe those women who are trying to marry other women, if they'd known what the Bible had to say, they'd be trying to find them a man. Is that all right? Huh? Adam and Eve, male and female. Is that right? Well, let me stop there, because there are men that like men. But I believe there was a city like that already. That God sent fire down from heaven and destroyed it. Is that right? I want to tell you, well, we're in a world of crisis today. When men want men and women want women, something is wrong with our morality. Something is wrong. Now, don't look at me like that. Wait a minute. I can't help that. But listen. The Bible says, Adam. Y'all scared to say that. Adam and Eve. Who says Steve? Amen, Walls. But seriously, the world is in a crisis. We're in a crisis. And if we don't go out and tell people the truth, it's going to come to our house. It's already in our church, but it's going to come to our house. You better be careful while you're on your beds of ease in Zion. You got to step up to the plate and tell people what the Bible has to say concerning our relationship between men and women, because young men and young women are seeing these things. The television is full of these things. Who's going to correct this? It's the responsibility of the church to get the news out. It's the responsibility of the church to share the gospel of Christ. I'm through. How do we heed the Macedonian call? Somebody said we respond to. Somebody said we must be active in doing so. Whatever your method, let's get it done. Let's get busy. Because it is the responsibility of the leadership of the church to keep evangelism constantly before its people. Because if we don't, we'll think the gospel meeting is what evangelism is all about. But I'm going to tell you something. We're losing the race in gospel meetings. Because we don't prepare before the meeting. And when the meeting get here, we still won't invite anybody to come and hear the gospel of Christ. Jesus said this as I close. If you confess me before me, I will confess you before the Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before me, I will deny you before the Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to confess that by simply saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. The Bible says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then be willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins. After you rise up from that water grave of baptism, you will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. He's wiped your slate clean. You don't even have to worry about your guilty conscience. You're a new creature. And you walk in the newness of life. If you're a member of the Lord's church, but you have not heeded the Macedonian call, you've let opportunity after opportunity pass on by. This is a time that the church can pray that God might give you strength, that give you courage to speak up when it's time to speak. To speak in season a word of salvation to the lost. Is there anyone tonight? If you stand in need, let it be known right now as we stand and sing our invitational song.